Hello, you're listening to People, Pets, and Vets with Dr. Brad Miller and registered veterinary technician Angel Martin.
Hello.
Each week, we bring you current events and news in the veterinary industry and share our thoughts and perspective on how they impact us in our animal hospital. We also try to give you an insight and behind-the-scenes glance at our clinic and the people in it. This episode 74. Is being brought to you once again by Georgia Veterinary Associates, a family of animal hospitals caring for your family pet. So once again, it is Sunday afternoon, a day before the podcast goes out. Beautiful Lawrenceville and northern metro Atlanta area. A little bit cooler today. I think 91 was the tops.
I don't know about that, but can we just talk about how wrong the weather people are?
Sure.
And always have been, I guess.
Sure.
So yesterday, Saturday, usually my family and I always have a weekend day at the pool, but we decided not to because we...
The rain forecast.
Yeah. We looked at the forecast and the forecast said thunderstorms basically all day Saturday. And so we didn't. And it literally stormed for like 5.5 minutes, and that's
it. Oh,
that
was it?
Yeah, for the most part during the day, and then it was done. And I don't know if it stormed in the evening last night. I think it might have. But during the day, it was beautiful by my house.
I was here at the clinic late afternoon, and yeah, some pretty big thunderstorms rolled through here. So it's kind of amazing. I guess it's 20 miles. So we've talked about this. In Texas, it's always minutes, right? It's like it's 20 minutes to here. It's 30 minutes to there. You know, from Ropesville to Lubbock is about a 24-minute drive. But very similar around here. So, yeah, I mean, you're about 20 to 25-minute drive time north of here. And so that's kind of crazy how different the weather patterns can be. We talked about the earthquake. Was that last week or the week before?
I think it was last week because the week before was our bye week.
Our bye week, yes. Mm-hmm. No earthquakes this week.
Not here, but I think there was an earthquake somewhere else. I saw it, as always, I always get my information from Facebook, right? And so I feel like I saw some people talking about sleeping through an earthquake this last week.
Okay, well, are you going to look it up? Is that what you're doing?
I'm just going to see real quick.
There was a story, a news story, so I'm probably going to be all over the place this week. About two elephants that died, and I don't even have it on our copy here that we're looking at. Two elephants that died with some type of viral disease, and the people at the animal reservoir where they were are very somewhat excited that they're going to be able to figure out what is going through these elephants and killing them and protect the rest of them. And so that is definitely an instance of turning some sad and bad news into a positive.
So elephants get like herpes complexes, right?
I think similar it was to a herpes disease.
Cats and horses don't really get herpes, right? Like encephalitis, is that a herp? Like
equine encephalitis? Is that a herpes? Encephalitis. Maybe.
I don't know.
EHV1, I think it is actually.
I think it is a herpes as well.
Equine herpes virus, yeah, 1 and 2.
So I think, I don't know the story you're talking about or referring to, but I have heard of elephants having like a herpes complex before. And so maybe, to your point, the exciting thing is that finding what's happening and then hopefully correcting it.
Yeah, which we do the same thing oftentimes in small animal practices, more so in large animal practices. If you have a herd health issue going on, you start losing members of the herd, then we will do a full-on necropsy, mm-hmm. gross necropsy. So physically, visually, what do you find? What do you see? And then cut a bunch of tissues in for microscopic evaluation and also viral and bacterial testing. And so I'm sure that's what they're doing. So I guess where I was going with that, we do that in small animal, but not nearly as much because it's typically an individual pet. Whenever we're working with a breeding type, a breeder type of client, then we more often would recommend that we really try to get to the bottom line and understand why that pet died. So
to get really morbid, I guess we've used to, I feel like for probably a whole month of episodes, we talked about euthanasia quite a bit. Mm-hmm. But so let's say that you have an elephant that passes. How do they dispose of their remains, even after a necropsy?
Probably cremate or bury. So large animal, cows, horses especially. Many a time have I been called out to a horse farm to go graveside and euthanize a horse, and then they had dug out this big hole in the ground with a backhoe.
Oh gosh.
And we lay the horse down right next to the hole, roll it over into the ground, and then cover it up. Or the
That's the
alternative,
cheaper option, I would
yeah, the
assume.
alternative is to have a crematory come out with a vehicle, enclosed truck body, and a hoister crane on the back, hoist the animal up into the vehicle, and then take it to the crematory.
So again, not to get super morbid, but like these have to be very specialized crematoriums, right? Because they have to fit such large bodies. Like human crematories essentially have to fit human
Same
bodies.
thing like CT scanners, right? I mean, we'll bring that up again, that we had the small animal one. They make large animal ones, which are much larger and have to be able to get the animal through the
But could you
gantry.
fit a 4-ton elephant through the gantry of any CT? I
Not
would
that I'm
think
aware
not.
of.
Usually it's appendage, right? So it's like head, arm, something like that. At least of the horses. Anyways, I thought that was crazy. Like, what are they going to do with these elephants? And again, not to be super morbid, but dead weight is much heavier than live weight. So that sounds like a feat.
I mean, or
When these animals die in the wild, essentially
they
their
just
food,
lay
their
on,
meals
yep, they are
for.
eaten by other predators. And what's the class of animal I'm thinking about with the vulture? A
Some sort of like carnivorous bird.
well yeah they clean up. Anyway, there's a word, it passes my mind right now. Lance, if you would please text me whenever you figure this out.
And vulture's not it.
Turkey vulture, vulture, no. Opossums are the same way. You know, as I said, opossums, not possums. They clean
Opossums?
up dead animals, basically. So they go in, they eat all the soft tissue,
Like
typically
this
leave the
group of animal.
skin.
I understand what
Yes,
you're asking now.
yes.
I understand. I don't know
And
what that is.
it's not even on the tip of my tongue, but I should know it. But that will be the word of the week next week, if Lance will please look that up and figure that out for me. So, word of the week. We
Okay.
talked about this before we started the podcast,
We did.
and nothing really came to mind. And then I just thought about the cases I've had, and a couple of cases Dr. Stevens has had. And the word of the week is thrombocytopenia. Thrombocytopenia. Break it down.
All I can tell you is penia meaning little.
Okay, you're right. Small amount less than.
Yeah, so like
Why do you
I
think?
know what
Okay,
thrombocytopenia
I
means,
laugh
but like
because
breaking
people
it
are going to
all,
take this
oh
and go a
gosh, I
completely
hope
different
they
way.
don't. Be mature, people, be mature. But like
Philia, let's say, okay, so suffix philia means plentiful or excess or more than enough, and penia, PENIA, means just the opposite, less than the amount. Okay? What does cyto mean? CYTO.
blue.
No. What does cyto mean? Cytopoint,
So,
cytology,
cells.
cells. And then thrombo, a thrombus. What's a thrombus?
It's a clot,
Okay.
essentially.
And what makes that clot?
Platelets.
Okay, so thrombo, platelet, cyto, cell, penia, less than
Like I
the
said, I
amount.
know what it means, but I couldn't break it down myself. Thrombo equal platelets is the kind of the breakdown for me. Like I know that a thrombocyte is essentially a platelet, but why? Is it just the word? One equals the
Why
other.
is a thrombocyte a platelet? Because that's what it is.
So is it like a neutrophil is a white blood cell?
Yes.
But you can only have
Platelets
one
are
type of
platelet
platelet.
equal to thrombocyte. I
But you
understand
can
what you're
only have
asking.
one
Yes.
type of platelet, right?
So red cell, I don't know, what else are they called?
Erythrocytes.
Erythrocytes. Very
Wow,
good.
I
Bam,
just
high
schooled
five.
you.
We
Knuckles.
knuckled. We met the high five.
I schooled you, by the way. Your face, you are so stumped.
Erythrocyte,
I'm like in my
thrombocyte.
glory right now.
Wow. Enjoy it while it lasts. Thrombocytopenia. So an excess of thrombocytes is called what?
Oh God, not thrombocytophilia.
Exactly.
So hold on. Oh, God. I feel like I know this word when you say it.
Thrombocytosis.
Okay.
Erythrocytosis. What are white blood cells called?
Phagocyte. I'm just kidding.
Leukocytes. Leuko, meaning white. So leukocytosis. So very interesting, like a neutrophilia, but it's not a neutrocytosis. So
But you can
this
have neutrophilia,
you can, but you don't have neutrocytosis.
neutropenia.
Anyway, I don't know who made the rules, but we just try to follow them. So, all right, last
Medicine
week.
people. This is why your veterinarians go to school for so long.
Medicine geeks, I guess. Did you read through the stories? Are there any stories you want
I didn't.
to
I
talk about?
just
It's
want to talk
not.
about one thing real quick.
Okay.
Since you are such a sheep farmer,
Herdsman.
herdsman,
Sure.
and
What do you call the people like in, they're called Sherpas.
well, then why would you
Okay.
ask?
But I don't think they herd sheep. The Sherpas are like the people that help you climb Mount Everest. Is that correct?
Well, heck, I don't know. I've never climbed Mount
Okay. Anyway, go
Everest.
ahead and talk about what you're going to talk about.
Well, I was just going to say that since you're such a sheep person, and as I've said before, I get all of my very, I don't know, academic, smart people information from Facebook.
Yep.
Have you ever heard of a sheep pig?
A sheep pig.
Yes. So it's not the kind of a pig that herds sheep. No, that would be the wrong answer. But in rather, it is a pig with hair like a sheep.
I've never heard or seen of anything like that.
Okay, let me show you. So again, on Facebook, I found it, and apparently there's like they were almost extinct, but somehow they were brought back. They're mostly used for meat, but they're free roam farm animals. And apparently there's some show on Animal Planet called Farm Rescue,
So they're
and these
meat
pigs
pigs.
have been seen on Farm Rescue. Yeah, but like it's so weird. They're hairy and curly haired.
So they're in the wild, are they?
But they could also be farmed, apparently. They are not cute, but people equate them to dogs, like the fur on them.
Do they are they sheared and is there?
But look how cute that one is with his little curly
Oh, that is
cues.
kind of cool. Looks like a
I
poodle.
do not know. I did not look that much, but oftentimes you see them with their tongue sticking out, so it looks like a dog. So it's like a
Sheep
third
pigs.
sheep, a third pig, a third dog. Yeah, I've never heard of such, but apparently, like I said, they were
So,
featured on
back up
an
again.
Animal
Are they
Planet
like a
show.
naturally occurring in the wild thing, or did somebody somehow genetically manipulate?
From my understanding, they are a naturally occurring thing in the wild. They were almost extinct, and then they were brought back. And apparently, but historically, they were mostly used for meat. But
Huh.
again, there's a show called Farm Rescue on Animal Planet, and these pigs were featured on there. So,
Pigs for meat that have sheep-like wool, but they're meat pigs.
yeah,
Anyway,
like
that's weird.
look at these photos.
Well, they look like poodle pigs to me.
Like I said, a
It's
third
weird.
dog, a third sheep, a third pig. It's so funny. Anyways.
Okay, let's move into healthy pet, happy life. Last week, I think I recall talking about heartworm disease prevention and testing. And you kind of got on to me after the episode and were like, what are you thinking telling people that you recommended this one pet not receive heartworm prevention?
That's not what I said.
That's basically what I
Not
heard.
really. I think we're talking healthy pet, happy life, and we decided to pick the one pet that we went against our recommendations on, and kind of talked a lot about that. That's all I was saying.
Okay, so
I
focus more on the prevention
think,
and the
obviously,
reasons. Okay.
working very closely with your veterinarian and the pet parent is super important. As we've said before, we try to bring those two parties of people together. Kind of to have a unified goal and to kind of work together as a team to take care of the pet the best that we can. So, in that
Agree.
case, I think that was fantastic. But for most cases, I think we kind of got off a little bit tra of track there, and that the fact that we do recommend that
99,
99.951%
yeah.
are on preventatives.
Okay, so that's a good point. And one thing you and people close to me know about me is I don't always speak what's on my mind. I just kind of assume and, you know, move forward. And so with sick pets for the last several years, I've really tried to let some of these owners know that we all are working towards the same goal. Like, I want what you want, and it's the same thing your pet wants, which is to get over this illness or disease or surgical condition as quick as we can and get home and be healthy and happy. And I guess to a fault of mine, I haven't really been doing the same thing with wellness visits, which I guess I don't really do that many wellness visits these days because I'm not taking on a ton of new clients. But I do think that same philosophy should be passed on to whatever the visit is, right?
Sure.
If it's an ear infection, if it's a bad cancer, if it's a broken leg, if it is just a wellness, we all want the same thing. We want to keep the pet healthy and happy so that we can enjoy them as long as all parties, you know, can.
Sure.
So I haven't even decided what we're going to talk about today. I was going to ask you, but question for you, healthy pet, happy life.
Yes.
What are a couple of things or instances or memories you have? Why do you have pets in your life?
Oh gosh, this is a long emotional story. Okay, no, it's not.
It's
not. So I was an only child for a majority of my childhood. My sister and I, there's a 14-year gap between us. And so my dog was essentially my best friend. I know that sounds silly and goofy and whatever, but those are the best memories, you know, like jumping on the trampoline. The dog used to get on the trampoline and jump with me.
Okay.
The first snowfall, like I lived in Georgia majority of my life, and going out and building a snowman with my dog, again, on the same very trampoline, kind of dusting all the snow, you know, the whole 3 inches that we got in the blizzard of March of, what, 93, I guess.
Okay.
Those things are definitely what I remember. But I do also remember that she did get sick a couple of times. And as a young person, and my parents were very young, veterinary medicine was not necessarily the forefront of things. And my dog did get sick. You know, she wasn't spayed as a young pup.
I'm going to interrupt. Did your parents have another pet as well? Or was this like the only pet in the family?
We pretty much always, I always only had one dog.
Okay.
But the dog I'm speaking of, we actually got when I was 4 years old. I do remember having two dogs essentially before that, you know, like very vaguely. But this dog I'm speaking of, her name is Brownie. I got her when I was four, and we were definitely best buds. She slept with me, that kind of thing. But, you know, going back to the whole healthy pet, happy life, we were always happy when she was healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? And then there were times that she would get sick, like I said. So she, was bred by a dog that was a little bit bigger than her and had to have an abortion C-section, if you will, because the pups were not going to make it and that kind of thing. And so that was very, I didn't understand it. I don't think my parents understood it, that kind of thing. And so she definitely, we didn't really know she was pregnant at the time either. And she was just acting weird. So I guess circling back to the whole fact of when she was feeling her best, we had the best moments.
But life lessons in there as well, right?
Oh, for sure.
So sad times, struggles. Maybe it's an overstatement. Some people will get a pet, whether it's a fish or a hamster or a dog or a cat, to quote unquote teach their child some responsibility.
Sure.
My opinion is that's probably not the best reason to get a pet of any sort, because
right.
all you're going to do is create resentment with your child.
Sure.
But I do think, you know, they're, if that's not the primary reason, they you do, as a pet owner, pet parent, child of a pet parent, there is a lot of knowledge to gain. You do need to care for them in sickness and in health, and they do bring a lot of emotional joy. You got very emotional when you started telling the story, because it brought up a lot of memories. There are good memories, there are bad memories, there are physical things that you know did with the dog, as far as, you know, just the power of you know of the hand, I guess, touching, petting, and not was trying to not make this sound weird,
but the physical connection.
The physical connection. Sure. I heard you say, you know, that she slept with you. A lot of people do sleep with their pets. It's just, you know, there's a lot of joy to be had there. And, you know, once again, the reason we do what we do, and I'm going to speak for you and for me, is we love taking care of pets and the people who love the pets.
Oh, right? Sure.
And care for them.
For sure.
And so it is our job and our desire to tell you, in our opinion, what is the best thing to do for that pet to keep mm-hmm. them healthy. We're not trying to oversell you something. We're not trying to undersell you something. We're not trying to go against your breeder's advice just to go against their advice. We're trying to educate you, pass along our knowledge base, and make that recommendation to you and your pet in order to keep it healthy and happy for as long as that can happen.
Certainly.
Right? Mm-hmm. So let's somewhat briefly talk about another aspect of healthy pet, happy life. Do you want to go with physical exams? You want to talk about lab work? Is there anything that comes to your mind?
The only thing, well,
vaccines.
I mean, I mentioned that my dog wasn't spayed as a young adult, okay. Or a quote unquote sexually mature dog. So I think spay/neuter, we could talk about that briefly.
Okay.
There's a bit of controversy, I guess, if you will, within our industry about the age and size of that.
So yes and no. There was a study, a golden retriever study, regarding, you know, cancer in dogs that were and were not spayed or neutered. And that's one study.
Right.
I don't even remember how many dogs. I don't know if it's 40 or a couple of hundred. But most recently, another quote-unquote study, which was retrospective and was several hundred and involved a lot of different breeds.
I think we already talked about this.
We did. There was no consensus on when to spay and or neuter and when to not spay or neuter, because it was very breed specific and sensitive.
So then let's talk mostly, since we talked about that study, let's talk about our recommendations. So hold on 1 second. Lance's little brother and his mother they just got a puppy. And his brother is an adult man, I guess, but his mother lives with him. But
his brother is not an adult woman.
Well, so, anyway. I didn't want it to be like his little brother, like his 12-year-old. But no, his adult man brother, whose mother lives with him, they got a new puppy recently. And, you know, naturally they asked me some questions about, like, when should we take him to the clinic or the vet? Like, oh, the vet recommended this. What do you think? That kind of thing. And so I kind of laid out, like, the whole puppy plan very quickly and included roughly a neuter at about 6 months. It's a boy dog. And so I thought it was very funny that Lance's mom took the dog to the vet and then kind of told me, like, oh, yep, they said the same thing as you. You're right, 6 months. And I was like, well, it's not really whether I'm right or wrong. You know, it's more of, I guess, the recommendation. So that's where I think we can go with this.
Okay.
So, versus, like, my dog that I got neutered at 12 months old.
Yeah, okay. So I'll try to keep my thoughts collected here. A lot of pets are castrated or spayed or neutered or sterilized. So sterilizing means to sterilize male or female. Neuter technically means to, we've talked about this before as well, mm-hmm. to spay or castrate. But we typically say neutering is what you do to a male. And so we historically and typically say you spay a female, you neuter or castrate a male.
Mm-hmm.
So 20 years ago, when rescue organizations and groups started becoming much more popular and doing really good things, they realized if they adopted out a pet and it was not spayed or castrated or neutered, then oftentimes that would never happen and those pets would breed and contribute to the overpopulation of pets, and namely unwanted pets or unowned pets.
Sure.
And so they started recommending spaying or neutering at ages as early as 8 to 12 weeks. My opinion is that can, certainly is not always, but that can be too early for some particular pets. It can cause feline urologic syndrome in some cats to where their urethra doesn't develop properly, and it can cause some other problems in dogs. And so, but the benefit outweighs the risk.
Certainly.
So when I got out of vet school and when I went into practice, we recommended spaying or neutering most pets at 6 months of age. And still to this day, that is my bottom line recommendation.
And why is 6 months? I said it earlier, but why is 6 months kind of that golden number?
So 6 months, a lot of pets are mature enough and developed enough that physically they are mature. I'm going to say it again, mature enough that you could go ahead and remove their ovaries or the testicles. And they will complete their development and it will not cause any ill effects. Typically, we see the female's heat cycle start no earlier than 6 months of age. Asterisks, it can happen
Right.
because fall and spring are the two normal times of year that dogs and cats will come into heat. And so if we can do them at 6 months, depending on where that falls on the calendar, at or before 6 months of age, then they're typically not going to have their first heat cycle. The reason that's important is if you spay a female dog or cat before their first heat cycle, there is almost a 0% chance they will ever develop mammary or breast cancer. If they go through one heat cycle, that percentage number goes somewhere between 3 and 5%. If they have a second heat cycle, it starts exponentially going higher on the percentile. So maybe the second percent is 13%. Maybe the second cycle is 13%. Maybe the third cycle is 28%. So it really starts kind of getting out of whack.
Sure.
We've heard people in the practice say, "Oh, I want to let my dog or cat have one or two heat cycles because of some silly reason." And like, no, that's not the reason to do that. So a couple of reasons not to spay your dog or cat. Number one is if you want,
Ever or at 6 months?
I'm gonna fill in the blanks there for
Okay.
ever is going to be if you want to have kittens or puppies, then do not spay your pet. If you don't know if you want to have kittens or puppies, do not spay or neuter your pet at 6 months of age. But at 12 months, try to figure it out. And at 18 months, try to figure it out. As soon as you know that you are not going to have a breeding operation going on in some form or fashion, you need to spay or neuter your pet because they are going to be less aggressive and have less behavioral problems due to their hormones. And so that's a whole nother topic, right? From physical aggression to the owner to wandering and trying to breed another animal or be
Sure.
bred by another animal. But that's kind of the bottom line for me is if you're going to breed them or you think you might want to breed them, don't spay or neuter. Otherwise, do because there's no reason for them to retain their gonads, right?
Sure.
And so the reason a male does not need to keep his gonads is because he can develop testicular problems, infection, inflammation, cancer, and also prostate problems, just like people. The reason a female should not retain her gonads or ovaries is she will continue to cycle every 6 months, which is somewhat messy for many owners. She will also tend to develop ovarian problems, same thing. I don't guess I've ever really seen an ovarian infection, but
Or
we do see
uterine.
cancer of the ovary, and then we do see uterine infection, inflammation, bleeding. And not really cervical problems in dogs or cats, but so yeah, I mean there's just no reason not to do it unless you think or you are going to breed them. End of story.
So, I guess kind of wrapping things back up, would you say that over the, you had mentioned 20 years ago when these rescue groups kind of started to come into, I guess, what is
Existence.
that word? Fandom, if you will. Do you feel like we have seen less unwanted pets? Like, has the overpopulation kind of gone down with those efforts?
I think so, but the honest answer is I don't know because I think there's a lot we don't know, hear, see, read about, but we do know or hear during COVID-19 times that there is a shortage of adoptable pets, in shelters and other places.
Sure.
But no, I mean, I don't know. The one other thing I was going to say, I was going to kind of plug doing laparoscopic procedures in dogs. That is really a cool thing that we've been doing for 3 or 4 years now, and we try to mention that to our dog owners at their fourth visit, which is typically what, around 16 weeks of age,
mm-hmm.
around 4 months. We try to go ahead and forward book that spay or neuter procedure in 2 months. So.
Okay.
All right, well, that's all I have. Do you have anything else?
I don't think so. I think that's important and pertinent information, again, to the Healthy Pet, Happy Life.
Do you remember? I feel like we talked about this, too. So you're going to nail this.
Oh, God.
I know you're going to get this answer. Which celebrity historically always ended his show, and you can either name the show or the celebrity, with, and remember, spay, please remember to spay or neuter your pet.
It was Bob Barker on Wheel of Fortune. No, Barker on The Price is Right.
The Price is Right, which you've been to.
So. I have,
With Drew Carey.
With Drew Carey.
So,
and he doesn't say that.
Yeah.
I guess he doesn't get enough change on the side there.
Okay.
All right, guys. Please remember to subscribe to our podcast wherever you're listening from. Check in next week as we discuss more in the news and in our industry. Follow us on Instagram at People, Pets, and Vets, which, by the way, we're getting about one new follower a week right now.
What?
Yeah, which I'm excited about. Most of them are veterinary specific, which is pretty cool, right? That's like colleagues kind of listening or at least checking us out on Instagram. Make sure to follow all of our clinics on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and check out our blogs on our website at mygavet.com. You can also listen to and see the typed version of our podcast on our website as well. And remember, without people, pets are simply animals.
Bye, guys.